Podcast 23 for Funky Kid. I'm Loy Lee.
I'm Winston, and welcome to another great podcast. This week, we didn't have any reviews, but at the end of the week, we should have some reviews on some memory, triple DDR3 RAM, one from Adata, and one from Patriot Memory. And hopefully, we'll have those reviews at the end of the week by Bob Nova.
You made a cheesy video, right?
Yes, we did. Yes, it's a Funky Kid video guide. And basically, we wanted to show our visitors and readers what Funky Kid's about. So it's all about hardware, tech, and all the stuff that goes with it. For example, exhibitions, shows, and anything that's crazy that we could do is on the video. So go and watch it. It's a bit of fun. Again, if you guys got some video clips that you want to send in, we could include that. And then I could put a bit of magic, a bit of special effects and that kind of thing into it, and hopefully we can have that on our website. Now, this podcast, we'll be announcing a winner for our Crucial Memory. Yes, Crucial.
Ooh, you can tell me that in the pre-runs.
Yeah, well, that is a surprise, hey. But yeah, so the winner of the Crucial Ballistic Tracer DDR3 1600 4GB kit. So we'll be announcing the winner in this podcast. And also, next week, I'm teaming up with a new vendor, and they'll be having a special. So next week we'll have a new competition, and this one's from a new sort of vendor sponsor. They're interested in to give away a free prize draw. I'll probably announce that next in our next podcast. Okay, so let's move on. Lots of news, some interesting news. Sony, so tell us more, Sony.
Oh, some sad news. I'm going to say this all wrong, and I'm probably going to offend the one Japanese listener that we have. But Nori Oga, the former Sony chairman, has passed away at the age of 81.
Is he the founder of Sony?
He's not the founder, but he was one of the milestones in Sony's history. He came up with
the compact disc, right?
He came up with a compact disc, and he used to set up everything for the PlayStation network and brand, mm-hmm. So his legacy in Sony was big influence, and he introduced all these technologies that we use today. But because Sony's so shit lately, that we kind of forget about Sony.
Sony's pretty good. I mean, in terms of PC market, I mean, they make some great laptops. The camcorders are great as well. I love those. I mean, one of my friends has one of these. They were one of the first to get the HD camcorders. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I haven't used any of the Sony camcorders.
They're good.
In the last, 5 years. But, Apple have taken the reign now. So.
Well, in camcorders.
Not in camcorders, but in general technology.
Oh, right, yeah.
About, you used to think, Sony store, I'm going to go to a Sony store and then check out their new kit. Or you look out for the new Walkman or Discman or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the Sony TVs, they were great back then. And they still are great now. It's just that a lot of the limelight's turned away from consumer electronics to more web-based kind of networked gadgets.
I didn't think that. I don't think they've released anything revolutionary lately. Not even the PlayStation 3 was that good.
It was, compared to the Xbox, it was, when it first released, it was overpriced, it was bulky, it had the new cell chip, and that was the main thing. And apparently it had 8 cores in it. It was one of the first consumer electronic or product that came with multi-core processors. But unfortunately, the 8 cores, only 6 of them worked.
Exactly. And then obviously they had Blu-ray, but then they were a bit too early with Blu-ray, so that didn't take on until 2 years later. But I think they've changed a few CEOs in the last couple of years.
Is it Sir Howard something, or is he the way around?
Yeah, he's a British guy now, isn't he? Sir Howard Stringer.
Yeah. So we got a Brit to run the whole corporation. But yeah, I mean,
and I believe he was the first first white man to take over Sony. Yeah.
Yeah, true. But he did a good job. I mean, the Mr. Sony. He was a musician, wasn't he? Or an orchestra conductor or something?
That's a bit too much geekery for me, so yeah. I don't know.
This is where he invented the music side of Sony, with the compact disc and things like that. So
I see.
That's one of the stories anyway. And oh yeah, moving on with the story about the Sony PlayStation Network. What the hell's going on then?
Shit. Yeah, that's pretty big news, man. Well, Sony, I can't remember the guy's name, but they took that hacker who was selling the mod chips
Geo Hotz, I think, something like that.
Yeah, they took him to court, and I think it hasn't been finalized yet, but they're still suing him. And in retaliation, some other anonymous groups, or they called the Group Anonymous or something like that, has hacked the Sony network. So all those online gamers for Sony network have been down, not just for one day, but they've been down for the past 5 days now. And Sony officially announced that a lot of like private data has been compromised, and are suggesting people change their passwords and change their credit cards and all stuff like that. So it's pretty big news. Yeah, to bring the Sony network down.
It's true, that amount of time.
And I believe they're actually sitting back and trying to rewrite the whole system to make it more secure, because they don't know actually what's being hacked.
That's scary crazy. Stuff. It's scary. Because they think about it, I mean, you know, you're talking about 70 million accounts worldwide. It's been compromised and hacked. And all those details floating around on that now. I mean, you could get some Russian guy.
Well, I'm assuming they're all paid customers, right? So that's 70 million credit cards sitting there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare, that one. What's quite annoying is that they didn't really announce the hacking problem until 3-4 days later. You know, a lot of people thought, well, yeah, network's down, probably, you know, server upgrades, whatever. And then the first day gone, second day gone, and then the third, fourth day, and then they announced it was got hacked. I mean, crazy, huh?
Well, I think they literally didn't. They got hit so hard that they didn't really know what hit them, and they're concentrating on what hit them. And then, how can you make an announcement when you say, yeah, we got hacked, kind of, but we don't know why and we don't know how, and we're trying to fix it.
Well,
trying.
The worst thing is, it's still not up. So, you know, I think a lot of damage is done. A lot of damage. Yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah, Sony PlayStation Network down. Big news of the week. Yeah.
Sony generally. Yeah, it's pretty big. Mm. What have you got then?
Well, there's a couple of news on, Sony again. They're releasing the tablets. They're saying they're going to be Android tablets. So it'd be interesting, yeah. We'll see Sony Vaio tablets now. So, I mean, the Vaio brand has been very good. I mean, I love Sony laptops. The quality is great. But it's pricey, but they're very good. And
I don't think the build quality is, because they're always made from plastic and stuff like that, man. Because I see people who've had them for a few years and they look really bad.
I think the Vaio brand, I mean, I if you give me a choice of a cheap Taiwanese brand or a China brand, and of, you know, Sony or Toshiba is usually the two brands that come up, you know. So, yeah, I mean, so Vaio tablets we'll be seeing soon.
Yeah.
So those are. The other news is Android is going full steam ahead, and they're picking up a lot of attention, especially with the collaboration with a lot of the US carriers. Doing the LTE and 4G, connections. So we'll be seeing a lot of Android tablets as mobile phones, smartphones, on this LTE and 4G network via the US carriers. In fact, probably by the end of summer.
When's 4G coming to the UK, man?
UK maybe next year or year.
Is anyone holding the 4G license yet?
No, they're bidding next year on it.
Ugh.
Or end of this year.
So slow, man.
Yeah, so this is it. I mean, you know, I mean, if Android is up there already, that begs the question, what's Apple doing? Are they going to be releasing the iPhone 5 with LTE and 4G connections? What's happening with that?
The only news that I got on the iPhone 4 or 5 is that the Verizon CEO slipped up on the earnings call and said that, you know, the next generation iPhone will be like a dual band or all world phone, as they said.
Yeah. So
meaning the CDMA and the GSM chip would be both turned on.
Okay. Interesting.
So maybe that explains why the delay in the iPhone 5, because, you know, they're trying to work out these workings of how a world phone would work.
Yeah. Well, the other issue is, I mean, some of them are purposely delayed. I mean, especially if you think about the trying to recoup their costs and their profit. I mean, Intel is notorious for that. They release a new chip, and then they sell as many as they can. And then when they have a new generation of chips, they kind of hold it back and then get rid of the old stock, a pile of chips, before they release the new chip. So,
yeah, that makes
and it's kind of delay, but it's all part of their strategy, I guess, isn't it?
I mean, the iPhone is well into its development now, and it's the 3GS kind of mobile phone was pretty good, and they must be getting down to like super uber cheap production now. So it makes sense if they could drag it out a little bit longer, and maybe, you know, make the iPhone 4 type format the same as the iPhone 5, and then just start pumping out these either 3GSs as a discount phone with less features, and the iPhone 4 is like the cheaper version of the iPhone 5.
I mean, I think they should. I mean, you know, I mean, we all know Apple products are pricey, and they got a price premium on top and things like that. But I saw a Samsung Galaxy Mini the other day, and it's literally basically the same as the big one, except that
it's mini.
Yeah, except that the screen resolution is slightly lower. It's got a slightly slower processor, 600 megahertz. But I had a go on it, and it's pretty smooth. And for a guy who just, for example, do a lot of social networking, bit of emails, bit of browsing, some games, you know. But that little Android phone, 2.21, okay, Android 2.21, Samsung Galaxy Mini, is only how much? Let's have a look. Just slightly over £100.
Yeah.
And this, which is roughly kind of about, I think it's about $180. Yeah, $180, $190 for a complete phone that has all the features you need. It's got the Wi-Fi, it's got the GPS, it's got the Bluetooth, it's got basically a smartphone, everything you need in a smartphone for that price, you see?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, yes, very, very tempted, you know, for something who don't need all those features. I mean, for a guy like you, Lloyd, I mean, you probably know all the features and all the functions on an iPhone, right? But people who buy an iPhone usually... Don't even use 30% of the features. You know that?
Yeah.
It's been a study that people who get the iPhone or one of these high end smartphones, they've only used like 30-40% of the functions on that phone. The rest they don't even know what it is.
Yeah, well, my brother-in-law is like key person. I don't think he's ever installed an application himself. You know, his son has maybe added some, but his phone's pretty much empty.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So that kind of like brings the question, well, do you really need such a high-end phone when, you know, you're going to be only doing certain things on it? And would Apple release a cheaper kind of like budget? But they won't, will they? Because all their products are more high-end, sort of high premium, sort of, you know, paying customers that don't mind paying that extra.
I mean, they could, if they kept the... Okay, say they introduced the iPhone 5 and then they got the iPhone 4 as a cheaper version, you know, as the 16 gig or something, and then they kept the 3GS as a even cheaper version with maxing it out at, you know, version OS 4.3 or whatever, then you've got a range of telephones that, you know, shut a lot of people up and, you know, reach a lot.
The worst thing is that given a choice, would you have an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 3GS? You'd be like, iPhone 5, right?
Yeah, that's... You can't really... You can't ask me that, or... Do you know what I mean? But then Joe Average, they're probably like, oh, it's still an iPhone and it's still made by Apple and it's like 50% off, so maybe, you know. Yeah. And they're probably not likely to buy an iPhone anyway, so...
Well, if a carrier, you know, the ISP and networks say, look, you know, iPhone 3GS, here you go, free, and you can go on a plan, a data plan for less than like £10 a month, which is like what, $15-16 a month, and yeah, I'll go for that, you know.
Yeah. Well, my phone carrier is now bugging me to upgrade free to an iPhone 4. But I'm holding out for the iPhone 5. I don't know how long I need to wait, though.
I just realized that I don't need all this special.
You have to say that. Shut up. You're using Windows Phone 6, man, with a stylus.
Yeah.
You have to justify it. Shut up, man. Don't tell me you don't need this.
I don't need it.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast and reading this your website is just thinking, you idiot, what are you using?
On a Windows Phone 6.
Yeah.
Sorry, not even Windows Phone 6. It's called Mobile Phone 6. 6.1? Yeah. 6? No, not even 6.1. 6, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Not even 6.1. That's like ancient. That's like 10-year-old telephone.
The only games I play is Solitaire. Yeah. And I got a good time as well. 1 minute, 1 minute and 30 seconds. Yeah. So
loser comes to mind.
Crazy, huh? Okay. Yeah. So moving on, right? We have some more news. And this... go on.
Well, I was going to say, while we're still on talking about Apple, Apple's like again, announced like record profits for the second quarter, reaching almost $6 billion in profit.
$6 billion in profit, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, revenue of like $25 billion.
So when people or these companies sort of report their earnings. Now I'm thinking, okay, shareholders, yeah, they get a big chunk of it. They're putting money investing and so on. But what about the end user? What about the customers? I mean, they're making all this profit.
Shut up, man.
No, I'm just saying, if I was an end user, I'm thinking, yeah, man, well done, Apple. You made $6 billion, but I'm the one who's fucking paying you. Isn't it, right? I'm buying your product. What am I getting out of it? Really?
If you don't like it, don't buy it.
I gotta think, okay, Apple. If they offered something in return, how we offer freebies for visitors when they come back and so on. I think they should do something like that, Don't you reckon?
No.
Oh, wow.
Because you're buying these products so that Apple can keep making these cool products. So why would they give you something back for free?
No, actually,
I don't think they're ripping you off. In these mobile phones are equally as expensive as the next smartphone,
yeah,
of that category.
Yeah, that's true.
And the apps are equally as cheap or expensive as the next. It's just a different system, and even the MP3s are equally as cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the ecosystem, then don't be in it, man, and go play with your Windows Phone 6 and stylus.
I tell you what the profit's for is to pay for all those lawsuits that Apple's currently in a lot of. Tell us.
But they don't need that because they own like all these bloody patents anyway, right? So so basically the premise of the Winston story is that Apple is suing Samsung for copying the iPhone. And you mentioned this last week and I brushed it off thinking it's a stupid story, but then I've read some articles, listened to some more podcasts, and some of the details are pretty crazy, like even down to the telephone icon on the Samsung. They're saying it's angled slightly different to the iPhone, but it's the same shade of green. So they're thinking, even your icons are looking the same. And then where the buttons are laid out are the same, and then their argument is like saying that people are gonna get confused, they're gonna go to the store, and then because you're always sold out of iPhones anyway, so someone comes along and say, well, you can buy the Samsung, which is just like an iPhone and it looks like an iPhone, but it's not an iPhone.
But Apple's argument
is like you're misleading customers because you're saying it looks like and it
But then that the sales rep will do that anyway.
Yeah, they will, but then, whether some other manufacturers, make an effort to try and innovate and make something different. But Samsung, I can see Apple's argument, but I kind of also disagree with it at the same time. So it's
double-sided sword, right?
Yeah, of course, double-sided sword. And it's again, all these big companies, they're taking sides again, So it's probably one effect, because I think it's a Samsung chip, right? They're using in the iPhone, the A5. It's part of Samsung's group.
Yeah.
Or something. So, and it's probably nothing to do with that group because Samsung is not just one company. It's probably a division of different companies.
Yeah, loads of subsidiaries, yeah.
So they're like, look, if you guys want to argue, then stay out of it because we're making lots of money from these chips anyway. So
Yeah, it's just, I just don't understand why they would bother. I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, the judge is going to say, look, boys, grow up. Look, you're selling chips to him. You're saying that he's copying you. Shut the up, right?
Yeah, but you know the sad thing is, it's going to take like stupid amount of time, like 10 years or something, for a judge to say, shut up and go home.
Yeah, plus a lot of court time, which costs and so on.
And they'll end up saying, okay, look, just give me like $1 billion and I'll walk away fine, okay.
And then just say, look, it's $1 billion is at stake here. Look, why didn't we just profit share? Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, because that's the core. That's what they want out of it. They want like, you know, ultimately, if they do win or something, then they can get some royalties back from Samsung. But they're not likely to win, and they're more likely to settle. So they'll just say, okay, so the next deal we do on this chip, just cut us like an extra 20% off.
Mm.
And we'll give you like, this and stuff and whatnot.
They should say, look, customer, how about, given a choice, Samsung or iPhone, we'll give you 20% off. Okay, 20% off would be good. From the amount they won in damages. 20% off, that'd be good.
Yeah. But while we're on Samsung, all these articles are flowing actually today. While we're on Samsung, this is not planned. While we're on Samsung, Amazon apparently are teaming up with Samsung to bring out a Kindle
service, is it? Oh, Kindle, okay.
Yeah. A Kindle. So Kindle is typically an e-reader, right?
Yeah.
So there's rumors now that, because obviously Samsung and Apple are enemies now because they're suing each other. So therefore Amazon comes in and says, well, if you hate him, come work with us. We'll play with you. And we'll bring out a tablet which, you know, goes with the Kindle brand. And that could work, I think.
That can work, but the other thing is I can't understand is this Kindle, this whole eco thing about Kindle. I mean, they've got a market share of e-readers out there, right?
They have grown market share, but Amazon has never actually released any figures on how much they sold.
Well, yeah,
they do say they sell more e-books than actual physical books on Amazon now.
So you need a Kindle reader or a device to read these e-books, yeah?
They're not DRM, so you can actually use any application, I believe.
So no, a tablet can become an e-reader, right?
Yes.
So that means
Amazon have done, interestingly, they haven't been like bitches about this and said you only have a Kindle to read our Kindle books. What they've done is released a Kindle app for every single platform. Even the Mac OS has got a Kindle application. So you can go to Amazon, buy these ebooks, and it gets downloaded straight away.
All right.
But where they've been successful is been making this whole ecosystem stupidly easy. So you buy it from the Amazon website. Uh-huh. Once you click buy, it'll automatically go to your account, which you can download from any of your applications.
Didn't Google try to do this with the Google Books thing? And then they got rejected.
Because with their Google Books, what they were doing was taking
for free
print books and then reprinting them in digital form, and then, you know,
To Google to get it, right?
No, Google wasn't, they didn't have a paid system, I don't believe.
So, but with Amazon, the publishers get a big chunk of what they sell for the Amazon, right? Ebooks.
Yes, it's the 70-30 deal. However,
right. So publishers do get their money.
Publishers do get the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also made it easy. So if you want to self-publish to Amazon Kindle store, you can. So if you've got a book and you've got, say, Winston's life story, first edition, you make that deal with the publisher. And then the next time you reprint or make an edit and you want to publish it again, you can either choose to go the publisher route, who will either print the books or put them on the store for you, or you can go directly to Amazon and say, look, I've got the rights to the second edition, so I'm going to go skip the publisher and go for that way.
Right.
So there's potential of making a lot more, because by the time you go through the publisher and you get your royalties back, you're only getting something stupid like less than 10%, 3%.
Yeah, I see.
So, but this way you can get your 30% or your 70% even of the actual book.
So, okay.
So the numbers might be smaller, but then overall you make more money, which feeds back to the developer or the writer or the publisher, and then you can create more quality content.
Yeah, okay. Because I never actually went into this e-book business whole eco thing, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
So, you know, from actually buying the e-book to actually reading it to what's behind it, all of this is, well, you just told me, so at least I understand a little bit more about it now.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing what's happening with the music industry, right? Because now that you can self-publish, you could self-submit to Amazon MP3 or iTunes, and you've got all the software to produce your own music, then there's, for indie labels, there's a huge market, and they're slowly creeping up behind these big labels.
Ah, right, okay.
And this way, rather than getting your normal 3% cut by the time, you know, it's gone through like the 17 middlemen, you go directly to the seller, and then you can get your full cut.
Okay, so Amazon become a sort of selling platform for both publishers and obviously selling to the end user as well, and they're basically acting as the middlemen, right?
No, because there's no middleman anymore, is there?
Well, they get the cut of it, right? For using
the platform. They get a cut of it, yeah. It works more or less the same as Apple iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, you know, I guess there is a middleman. There's always going to be a middleman. So you need the creator, the consumer, and then, you know, you need somewhere in the middle to sell the store.
Yeah. So basically, for using their platform, they get a cut of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. There's some interesting information on the ebooks and the ecosystem behind it. So you guys, if you know any more, you could send more details in. Send it to Loy@funkykid.com or Winston@funkykid.com.
Yeah.
And we can share some ideas and some news and some information. Okay, so the other news I was going to talk about was Nintendo Wii. Wii 2.
Wii 2? U2?
Yes. U2.
Wii 2.
Wii 2012. Wii 2, U2. No, U2, Me Too. No, it's Wii 2, yeah. So, new Wii 2.
Oh, the next generation of the Nintendo.
Yes, next generation of Nintendo Wii. Now, this console, no hardware details have been released, but I guess it'll probably be, you know, multi-core processor, graphics. It could be, at the time, right now, the original Wii is powered by Radeon graphics, I believe, or AMD graphics. So this one could either be NVIDIA, or they might stay with the AMD with their Radeon.
It's all speculation at the moment, because they've officially said, yes, we're going to release something next year, but they still haven't released any details, and there's been nothing leaked as yet. So
yeah. So I reckon it could be interesting, and how that kind of like really takes on the Xbox and the PS3. Now let me tell you something about the Wii. Now Wii, obviously made by Nintendo, in certain countries haven't been doing that well, and obviously but in Japan it's done great, because Nintendo is like a homegrown Japanese, it's part of their culture, so they can just make money or make all of their profit just for selling their Wii consoles in Japan only. It's like going gold on your music, becoming platinum. You could become platinum in one state. You know that, don't you, right, Loy?
If I
was a recording artist, yeah, I could be platinum in just one state. And I don't even have to sell it to be sort of statewide. I can, you know, make my money in just one state. Same thing with Nintendo with their Wii and their new products. They can just sell their consoles in Japan and make their money there.
It's like you said, it's part of the culture. It's just like culture, that in Korea, and it's just like that in China. That's why you didn't see, when the housing market crashed and all the and the banks struggled over the last couple of years, you didn't see South Korea or Japan or China struggle as much as the rest of the people, because their homegrown market is so strong, and these guys can generally survive still just by selling to their own people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. It's true. It's obviously affected a little bit of it, but that's because some of the foreign investment. But generally, yeah, they can kind of ride through the bubble. But I mean, the Nintendo have always been the part of the culture. I remember the Famicom. I'm not sure if you remember that. Nintendo Famicom.
Famicom, yes. Yeah, and the NES.
Yeah, NES. Yeah. And then it was a Super Nintendo, but then over in Japan they call it the Super Famicom.
The Famicom had, like, I think it had like one iteration before it actually hit the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, even the Asians abroad were playing like Famicoms before the actual NES came out.
That's right. And they had, back then in Hong Kong and some of the Asian countries, they had a disk drive for the Famicom.
A floppy disk drive. I remember that.
But it wasn't a normal 3.5-inch floppy. It was a special floppy drive. The format is really weird. It's if I still had that console, boys, guys, I would show you.
Do you know what? You could probably find one in Hong Kong. I would not be surprised if...
It's like retro, man. It's like...
Super retro, man.
But
I remember...
It's cool, though.
I had these floppy disk holders, which held about, I don't know, 50 or 60 disks. And I had about 7 of these holders. And for each game, you'd have to load like 4 disks.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But that was way cool, man. And then, obviously, Nintendo, the Super Famicom, which is Super SNES, and that was a great seller because of the Super Street Fighter and the Street Fighter series. Then they released a...
Dream something.
No, that was the Sega. Wait there. It was the Nintendo 64, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the 64 first, and after with the funky controller. After the 64 was...
God,
it's a square thing with the DVDs.
Wasn't that the cube? Nintendo Cube, yeah, GameCube.
Was that right?
Yeah, Nintendo GameCube, I think it was. Yeah.
You know what? We're sitting in front of a computer, so why not Google it?
But as you can see, the generation goes. I mean, from 8 bits to 16 bits, from 16 bits to 32 and 64. Obviously, Nintendo 64. Then the GameCube with all that DVD,
HD. You're right, GameCube.
Yeah. And then after the GameCube was the Wii, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they were the first to release that generation of consoles. And that was when Microsoft had their Xbox 360, the second generation.
Mm.
And they were ahead about 6 months before everyone else, before Nintendo released the Xbox 360. And that 6 months, they got such a big market lead that Sony and Microsoft have been catching up ever since.
Yeah,
in terms of unit sales.
Yeah. So what these guys do? Obviously, some of the innovations are great. I mean, the culture, as I said, is all anime and manga based. You know, I mean, the games are just so. I mean, look at Final Fantasy, and you know that those type of things. You can't get that in the Western cultures, you know. And I'm not sure what Final Fantasy number level or edition they're on.
Like Final Fantasy 59 or something now.
but I mean, those type of games have a massive following, you know. And
it took you like 6 years to finish.
And it's just the anime culture, the gaming culture they have there is different to what we Western style, you know, gamers. So yeah. But Nintendo
Wii. It'll
be
interesting to see what they come up with next.
Yeah, Nintendo Wii 2, yeah. Oh, the 3DS is not doing too bad either. You wouldn't believe how many kids love this Nintendo DS Lite 3D thing. 3DS, yeah.
Yeah, because, a lot of these schools are banning mobile phones and stuff like that. But then these game consoles, you know, as you can understand, people texting people and all that. But then the DS.
3DS,
The DS,
original
the
DS,
the original DS, no, because it's like fourth generation now, right?
Yeah.
The DS.
Uh-huh.
I think the third generation introduced like Wi-Fi communication, so you could actually talk to another DS.
Yeah, Wi-Fi. Yeah, so these little mini consoles now got like, it's basically a gaming console plus a sort of communication, a bit like a smartphone type of thing, but without the phone part. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like WhatsApp. But just WhatsApp. But I think they even got Netflix on it in the US.
Yeah, and this is where I think Sony's trying to do with the Sony Ericsson Play, Xperia Play, with the, you know...
Yeah, the PSP Go has been discontinued, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy, that is.
Well, not really, because I don't think anyone knew it came.
true. But... the PSP is still going. I mean, I've seen people still playing that on in the bus rides and on the trains and they.
Yeah, there's this madness in Hong Kong. The PSP people, they just got this PSP.
I want to ask, how long does the battery last on those PSPs? Because, I mean, surely it can't be more than 3-4 hours or more.
I think they're about 6 hours. I think it's pretty beefy. Uh-huh. But the thing is that they're interchangeable batteries.
All right.
So, you can get
a higher sort of output battery to make it last longer, like a 6 hour.
I don't think you can get a higher output battery, but then you can get a bigger battery, which kind of fits on like a glove to your PSP, and then you can fit that on, or you can just buy another battery, and then when one dies, you can swap it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're not going to do it well. Maybe the kids are doing it these days, but then most people are not going to be playing 5 hours of PSP games, are they?
True. Well, your kids, man. Well, you never know. Yeah, hey, the other interesting story which I read just the other day is, Lloyd, do you have any people on or friends who are on using Android phones?
I wouldn't call them friends.
Well, no. Okay.
No, yeah, I know.
Hey, I could be one of them in the future. Who knows? But Skype have launched their new service. Yes.
New service.
Yes, it's Android and iPhone can video call each other on their network.
Mean?
Right. Obviously, if I have a Skype.
That's free.
Yeah, well, if I'm a Skype user and you're a Skype user, but I'm on an Android phone and you're on an iPhone, we can still do video calling. Yes. Through Skype's network.
Oh, but isn't that normal, isn't it? Didn't they have a Skype application before?
Well, yeah, for iPhone to iPhone, Android to Android, but never Android to iPhone. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? But like,
that's a bit odd. Because I would have assumed that...
Like WhatsApp is iPhone to iPhone, right?
No, WhatsApp is universal.
Oh, well, before it was iPhone to iPhone.
Because there was only... No, it's only iPhone to iPhone because there's only WhatsApp for iPhone. But once they released it for Android, then everyone could talk to everyone. Ah. And then they released it for BlackBerry. But then I always assumed that if you had Skype on your Android, you could video call
anyone. I did that with an iPhone to iPhone or iPhone to iPod. The fourth generation, you know, touch iPod. That works, yeah. iPhone to iPod. But for Android, no, I don't think it worked. But now they've released a service where, or new app for Android.
Rated
and
the service,
now,
yeah,
so iPhone and Android users can video call each other if they wanted to. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's good to talk, as they say.
Oh, cheesy.
Yeah, it is. And
maybe it's because I got a 3GS, but I don't find myself using that much video calling on my iPhone.
No,
I do a lot of Skyping.
Yeah, I think video calls more.
I guess I don't have any mistresses or kids.
That's true. Yeah. But anyway. The other thing I was talking about, right, is the Google Chrome and the Internet Explorer 9.
What about those? Skyping as well?
No, not Skyping. The security on that, as in, you know, can it block malware? That's good. And they're saying that depends on your preference, really. I mean, I don't know why, but I am anyway. I'm an IE man myself.
See, Winston, seriously, man.
Yeah.
You should stop doing these podcasts. You use IE and then you use Microsoft completely.
I am. I'm a Microsoft guy with a dollar sign.
Ha-ching.
Yeah, so it's the same thing as you. You and your Apple. You're an Apple guy, man. Yeah.
I just appreciate quality software, you know.
Like Skype for Mac OS.
Oh, that's so crap, man. So crap. I don't understand. I'm using Skype version 2, I believe, and then their beta version is like 5, and then they released it, and it's version 5 or something. Skype, what are you doing with version 5, man? Just sort it out.
Yes, it's just nuts, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, Chrome is fast, I must admit. But I think for example, I mean, when I'm doing a lot of the internet banking and use logins and things like that, I tend to use IE. For some reason, I just find it more secure. Or I find it more secure.
That's I think that's a bit difficult for you to say because that's, you're so accustomed to, you know, yeah, the internet and all these malwares, and so your user, the way you use your the internet and email and stuff like that is completely different to a normal person.
And the reason why I say this is because certain banks, believe it or not, certain banks only with their login software and a login process only allow you to log in via IE.
Yeah.
So, and there's a reason for that. And the reason, obviously, is they probably find it more secure, and hence I'd use IE. I still use IE. I still use Firefox. I think I prefer Firefox for editing web stuff, right? Because they have the Firebug. Oh, it's amazing! This Firebug add-on. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it's great.
I introduced that to you. It's amazing, huh?
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, that's great. I loved it because you can see all sorts of editing and you know, configuring, and you know, it's great for webmasters and web designers and things like that. But also, for speed wise, I mean, if they had a Google Chrome for your smartphone, maybe have a Google Chrome browser for your iPhone, then that would be sweet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Safari is a bit slow on the iPhone, but I don't fix myself to like one browser. I use Safari mainly.
Yeah.
But I find that I use Safari mainly is because I don't add any plugins.
Mm-hmm.
And they do offer plugins, but I don't use them. But I use Firefox for Firebug and all these web development type plugins. And then it does get a bit sluggish when it's loading up. Once it's loaded, it's fine. But then I find that the toolbar gets like really fat when you've like loaded up all your plugins.
Yeah.
And then you've got like 2% of the screen you can see. So that really annoys me. But then I love Chrome for the sheer speed. And slowly I'm adding more and more plugins to Chrome, and it's getting a bit, not sluggish, but it's slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm cautious on what I add. So I use all three of them all the time.
Yeah.
For different things.
I just tend to use the two. I think Chrome is still a little bit not as mature as the others, obviously, because of the time that IE and Firefox have been around for so long. But yeah, I think Chrome will get there.
Do you know what?
What's that?
I think one of the main reasons why I don't use Chrome full time is because that the toolbar really annoys me. I mean, the tab bar really annoys me. Because it's not taking up any more space than it does in Safari, but because they kind of show you the tabs all the time, and it's got that next to the tab that you're not using is like more space.
Let me ask you a question. Using Facebook, right? Now, Facebook, believe it or not, uses a lot of processing power and resources on your, on the PC anyway. Is it the same with the Mac when you're using Facebook?
I don't find it that much of a problem. I mean, sometimes when you load up pictures and stuff, it gets a bit weird. But I put that down to the coding in Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, I read somewhere that at one point, Facebook had like 56 CSS styling files for various sections of their websites, but then they are taking measures to like reduce all their code and stuff. So it's becoming more efficient. But then, no, I don't really notice any difference. I guess I only use Safari for, because I use Mac at work and I use a Mac at home, and I use Safari for both.
You're just a Mac geek, man.
I use like a 3-year-old Dell computer.
Hey, listen. Have you actually acquired your Facebook email?
No, I still haven't got that.
Haven't you got it? All you need to do is click onto your profile, click on the messages, and then acquire your name or your.
It's not. Everyone has got it yet.
I've got it. It's winston.mysurname@facebook.com.
Yeah, but they haven't rolled it out to anyone.
Haven't they?
I've got like. We've got a, this is stupid, right? Because we've got like this stupid work account on Facebook for work. And that's got like 60 members, and it's just used for like an admin account. And that's got it. That's got that email feature. But then on my account, where I've got like a couple of hundred friends, and then I use it daily, and it's got all my pictures on it. And yeah, I still don't have that feature.
Why is that then? Is this because they only select certain people to have it?
They roll it out slowly, a lot of features. So not all features go out to everybody at the same time.
Oh, right. Well, anyway, it was the only the other day. I clicked on the messages. And they said, yeah, claim your Facebook email. So I did. And now, basically, it's your email, Winston. What's your surname? At Facebook.com. All those messages, all those emails will go straight to your Facebook messages email box. Yeah.
But isn't that annoying?
Well, it's just another, it's just a web-based email system. So basically now I could say, look, here's my email at Facebook.com. And then people send email to that email address and I'll get that via my Facebook account.
You questioned me about Facebook being sluggish. I tried logging into my Facebook account then using Safari like I normally do and it wouldn't load. What have you done to my computer?
I psychically messed up your PC or your MacBook. No, but it's, honestly, it does. It does take a lot of resources, actually, Facebook, because this is what it's all about. I mean, the whole layout may be simple, and to make it more simple, a lot of the back end stuff is actually processing via your process and your resources. So how did I notice? Because what happened was I left Facebook on running with my emails and other web browsers. Pages, and what happened was I thought, oh, it's getting a bit sluggish here. There must be some applications running in the background, so I want to get rid of them. So I obviously do my usual stunt, which is Control Alt Delete, go into my taskbar manager, and find out what's taking up all the resources. And I thought, wow, my Internet Explorer is hitting 1 gig. My Internet Explorer, you know, my web browser is hitting 1 gig of RAM resources being used up. I said, well, it's only like 3 pages of 3 tabs open. One of them's Facebook, one of them's Gmail, and the other one's just a normal web page. When I close all the pages or tabs off, then yeah, the memory went straight back down. So yeah, I'm not sure if you can check it on your MacBook, whether your resources thing, but yeah, it takes a lot of resources. And my brother, who's a network guru, I'm not sure guru, but he's into all this network business, and he said it does take a lot of resources, yeah. Especially if you play Facebook games, you know, the online games on Facebook.
Yeah, I've managed to set up my filters pretty quick, and I don't get any requests. Anyone who requests me, generally, I block it straight away, so I don't see most of these applications and stuff anymore.
Yeah, these applications. But didn't you, wasn't you who introduced me to Mafia Wars? Wasn't
he? Did I really? There was a time when I was in Korea and I was like, had a lot of time and I did, yes. I reached like level 300-400.
You were saying, you were sending me messages of join your mafia group, whatever. And then, yeah. But I see people just playing that all the time and it takes a lot of resources off your PC or your MacBook or your computer. But yeah, that's one thing you need to look into if your system starts to get slowed down.
Yeah, well, you're not going to do a lot of stuff on Facebook anyway. You just pop in and pop out.
Mm.
That's why it's so addictive, right?
Yeah, yeah, true. But Facebook, huh?
We've done a campaign in work today, and about 4 hours ago when I left work, I posted this this message saying, if this post gets 20,000 likes, then we'll release the new music video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already reached like 10,000 likes.
So you'll need more, you need another 10,000.
Need another 10,000.
Yeah.
And I bet my colleagues in work that we wouldn't reach it by tomorrow, 5 p.m.
So you put a bet on there, have you?
Yeah, so I'm going to lose the bet by tomorrow, I think.
But I think the thing is, with any celebrity Facebook page, I think you can get a massive following, and I think because then you know that once you post something on your Facebook, whoever follows you gets that message, right?
Yeah.
So if you post that kind of message on there, and if you're a follower or you're a, if you like that page, then you get that message. So you go straight in there. So yeah, I don't want to see the video. You click like. Same thing with a lot of the other contents that are on the web, where you know you can click like, and that kind of like automatically posts something on your wall saying that, oh, Winston has liked this page, and then you think, oh, what's that about? And you click on it, and you go straight to that page.
Yeah, it's madness.
It's great for if you want to get your message across, especially, you know, promotions and things like that. I've I read a story about, you know, the way that the social network, how it works, not how it works, but how it progresses and how it changes throughout the years. I remember back then it was all about the MSN type of messages, you know, you get, you know, and you got AOL Messenger, and then you got the ICQ. Remember that?
ICQ. I still use my ICQ number for certain things.
Do you really? Is there still people using it?
No, I don't use ICQ, but remember, because they didn't give you a username, they give you an ICQ number.
Yeah,
and I still use that number for various passwords and whatnot.
Ah, okay. So yeah, imagine now, obviously, if that was the first phase of, like, what they call social, really. I mean, people talking to each other via this kind of messaging system.
Wasn't MSN around then?
MSN was around, yeah. MSN, AOL Messenger, ICQ, Yahoo Messenger, I think, as well, and all that kind of stuff.
AOL was a big one.
AOL was a big one, yeah. Then, moving on slowly, then you had a lot of the web-based socials, such as Friendster. Then it was MySpace.
Friendster was my first one. Then MySpace, because I was traveling and everyone was like forcing me, yeah, sign up for MySpace. And then MySpace. By the time I set up my profile, everyone was like, oh, check this new one out, Facebook.
Yeah, so it kind of gradually moves on. So the people are predicting, will Facebook be overtaken by something else? Now, I think, yes, something will overtake Facebook.
Eventually, yes, but it's going to take a lot more to take over than MySpace or
MySpace was huge, do you know what I mean?
MySpace is up for sale again.
MySpace, for example, MySpace was launched, or was used to launch the careers of certain pop stars and certain film stars. You know that, don't you, right? So back then it was huge. And now Facebook's taken over. And I'm guessing, what's going to take over that? Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
It could be Loy's innovative idea. What have you got lined up then, to overtake Facebook?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully. Do you know, like, the latest figures is like 700 million.
700 million, yeah.
Users for Facebook.
So you get to the billionth mark. That'll be like, what the...
It's a whole ecosystem now, man. Facebook is outrageously big. It's scarily big. I mean, check all the information. They've got, like, serious information to take on Google if they really wanted to. At the moment,
serious information. I'm starting to worry actually to myself, because to be honest, I'm putting a lot of my own personal information on there. Although yes, you can, you don't have to, but I realize when I'm using it a lot now, and I'm thinking,
you add a bit here and you add a bit there, and then eventually your whole life story is on
Facebook. All builds up. Yeah, true, exactly. And what I've done even worse is I don't know even how to switch it off. Is that I linked up my Facebook with my Twitter, so now if you I stopped using Facebook as much and just used Twitter, and now whatever I post on Twitter, it gets linked up straight onto my Facebook, which is a bit of a bummer now.
Well, yeah. You did that manually by yourself. So.
I know, but I can't know how to switch it off. It's just
you uninstalled the app.
I have to uninstall an app on Facebook. Right, okay. Yeah. The Twitter app, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you go into the privacy settings at the top, so on the top right, click on account. And then I think it's privacy settings. Then you go to the applications. Then you can delete it that way as well.
Yeah. It's getting a bit because they're adding lots of new features, and obviously you can turn off these features. You can turn it on and so on. It's getting a bit more complicated. For example, when I first went on Facebook about a couple of years ago, it was really simple. I mean, I just do this and it does it. But now I have to turn this off, turn that on. You know, for friends, you got to do this, you got to do that. For apps, you got to install it or uninstall it or accept or allow. Do you want to allow this application to access your information? Yes or no? Do you want this person to see your profile? Yes or no? It's getting a bit too much now, I think.
It's not that simple to kind of like tweak the settings, but then it's not difficult either, so...
Mm.
Yeah, but then, I mean, Facebook they got stung a few times by these privacy statements and privacy issues before, and they've made a lot of effort to make it easy for people, as easy as they, you know, they can make it.
And the worst thing is, for example, I mean, Lloyd, you're my friend, yeah, of course. I mean, and a lot of other people that I call friends. Great. But then I've got to a stage, it was only a year ago, that I started accepting lots of other people. I don't know why. It was like a status thing, when I get more friends. Then I realized now that if I want to post something a little bit personal, say I want to say to, oh, Lloyd, you know, what's my current status and how I'm doing and so on, job-wise or life-wise or family-wise, I don't want other people, the 500 odd friends, to know about what's happening with what's going on with me. I only want to let people know what's happening, like, as friends, right?
So now, yes and no.
And so now, I got 400 odd friends. I don't know how or what. I've just been accepting shitloads of friends over the last couple of years. Now I want to limit their access to what they can read. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is all good, which is because you can allow people to see certain parts of your posts and so on, which is all good. But now I gotta think, man, I've accepted all these friends, 400 or 500 of them. You want me to manually edit each friend so that they can only see certain parts of my posts? It's a bit of a nightmare.
It's not.
So how would you go about that then? So you got 400 or 500 friends. They all see your posts. Now I want you to only see certain part of my posts.
You can't filter someone to see certain parts of your posts, but you can filter them to see certain parts of your profile, right? And what I've done is from pretty early on, I started using the filter feature,
right?
Because I knew that, you know, some friends I met when I was traveling and some I from school,
yeah,
people from all over places, and I've literally got like 20 or 30 groups. 20 to 30 filters under my friends list, and these people.
So what you've done is put them into groups.
Yes, and then these groups have permissions.
See, this is the type of thing that a lot of people don't know, because now you told me, you could group them into groups, or friends into groups, and for example, a group of them would be what, family, yeah? A group of them would be.
Let me open it up, and I'll go through some groups.
Yeah.
So if you go to account, then click on edit friends.
Mm-hmm.
Then under that, you've got your list of contacts. So right. If you haven't used it before, then you've got just a long list. Then there's a button there that you can create a list. And in these lists, I have, you know, work-related travels, friends of my sister, you know, school, random people, Mardi, where I grew up, Hummingbird is where I work now, gamers who I used to play games with online.
Yeah, so what you've done is you group all these friends into, well, groups, right? And certain groups have certain access to what your profile and slash your posts, right?
Yes.
See, this is the type of useful information that really needs to be more clear, right, on Facebook. Because now, if you didn't tell me, I wouldn't know how to do it. I've got 400 or 500 friends that, to be honest, I don't want them to see everything I post. See? So now you told me how to do it. And this is, girls and guys out there, if you're listening, follow Lloyd's instructions. Group your friends or put your friends into groups. And each group have certain access to certain parts of your Facebook page / profile / posts. So now you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Put them into groups.
I mean, it's how many friends have you got now?
Oh, well, three. I didn't realize that. Yeah, three or two, actually, me and you. Oh, no, but I didn't realize over the last 2 years, I've been accepting friends. You want to accept? Yeah, accept, accept, accept. And then I realized that some of them are spammers. And some of them are just like, come see me. I'm 20 years old, female from Latvia. And things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, mate, if you're adding me wrong, you've got an issue anyway.
So now, and as I said, I realize that some of them are spammers, some of them are just, you know, I don't know, crazy people. So now I gotta like block them.
That says a lot about yourself, mate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't have no friends. Yeah, I'm a loner. But what I'm saying is now I have a way of filter them out. Yeah, filter them. It's a bit of a nightmare because, I mean, they should. Oh, no, they shouldn't. I mean, it's Facebook. I mean, it's up to you, isn't it? You know, they should say something about this type of thing where you could group them, you know.
Yeah.
So now I've got a hassle of going or filtering 400 odd plus whatever friends into groups, which time consuming, isn't it? Or no?
No, yeah, well, I guess so. Maybe it could be, yeah, probably, but...
Man, I feel sorry for those people.
The group, when you accept the friend thing, when you friend accept the friend request, they give you the option of adding it to the list anyway.
Ah, right,
so
okay.
It's just that people don't pay attention. So I'll give Facebook credit for doing that. And then people don't really go through all these websites and do...
Man, imagine I feel sorry for those guys who realize, okay, oh, my privacy has been whatever. They never want to filter it out. They got like 2,000 friends. Oh my God, how are you going to filter that out?
Yeah.
Nightmare. But on the other hand, if you're a webmaster doing a fan page or a Facebook page for your website and they like your page, then everybody... gets your messages, which is good for especially for promotions and special offers. What you're doing with Hummingbird, and what I'm doing with the Funky Kid fan page or Facebook page,
which is good.
So a lot of the news, the content, the special promotions, the special features and announcements. If you like our page, go ahead and click on it. You get the latest news, latest gossip, and reviews, as well as any special promotions and competitions, prize giveaways, and so on. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So we wrap this up and get a winner for our crucial memory.
Oh, okay. Well, how do I do that?
Right, go to our Facebook page. So facebook.com/funkykit.
How do you spell that? I'm just kidding. I actually typed Facebook into the search on Facebook, looking for the Funky Kit page. Anyway.
We should have around about 400 Facebook likes. So thanks, guys, for liking us. Woohoo! And I want you to randomly pick some guy. You're going to have to close your eyes and randomly click someone. Oh.
Okay. So I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to scroll down to the bottom and refresh the list 3 times. Okay.
And then have you refreshed 3 times now?
Yes.
Okay, close your eyes.
Yes.
Right, think of a favorite number that you have.
62.
Can you count 62 down there?
Okay, I'll pick 26.
26, okay. So the 26th guy from the refreshed page is the winner. Or girl or guy, I should say. And who may that be?
I lost count, but then I seen some dude. Where's he gone? I lost him now. Ah, damn it, so many names, man. Okay, I'll pick someone. I pick a girl this time. Yvonne Gurr.
Yvonne Gurr? Okay.
Her profile picture looks quite nice. So.
What nasty did you say? Oh!
Quite nice, I said.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, then. Yeah. So, Yvonne?
Oh, she's from Taipei as well.
Oh,
so maybe...
there you go. Yvonne, you're a winner. Well done. So, thanks for liking our
page. She doesn't look Chinese,
though.
Maybe she's Chinese.
Check their profile.
Studied finance at Iowa State University. She's from Taipei, so she must be Chinese.
She's from Taipei, but she studied in Ohio.
Ohio.
That's in the States, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, well done, Yvonne, for participating in our competition. And thank you for clicking the like button on our Facebook page. So you're the winner for this month's competition, which is the 4 gig of Crucial Ballistic Tracer DDR3 1600.
I bet she's going to get really excited about those sticks of RAM.
Well, I suppose she can give away to her friends. Guy.
And if she ever comes to Hong Kong, she should give us a shout and we could do like an interview or something.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the guys who win anything from us, they tend to post something on our forums and make announcements on our page. So thanks, guys, for participating. Next week, or I should say beginning of the month, you will have a new competition. So no details have been released yet because we're still waiting on confirmation from our new sponsor. Hopefully, it'll be something nice. This new sponsor specializes in graphic tablets and tablets and
stuff,
yeah, gadgets, consumer stuff, yeah. So hopefully we'll get something nice and we'll be featured on our front page, and all you got to do is read the instructions. So we'll let you know more about that next week. This week also, don't forget, at the end of this week, we'll have more reviews. The memory, the triple DDR3 memory that we have from ADATA and Patriot Memory, reviewed by Bob Nova. And Bob Nova will be doing some dry ice overclocking on these memories. So very interesting. We'll have more of that at the end of this week. So make sure that you come back to visit our site. Loy, what else have you got for us?
Nothing much. And, you know, you do the work. I just talk over you. So, I mean, it's been a good week for news and this week. So
yeah,
hopefully
good news, yeah.
All the shows are done now. So I think there should be, you know, even better news coming up in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully.
Uh-huh. Well, today I just actually received a sample of Intel's SSD 320 series. So hopefully, if everything's all good, I have that review by Friday. If not, it'll be early Monday. So it's basically the last time we reviewed the 510 series, and that was a super, super fast SATA 3 6 gigabits hard drive or SSD drive. This one is more of the mainstream. It's supposed to replace their XM25M SSD. So this one's more consumer / mainstream, more affordable. But this one's 300 gig and not bad performance either. So we'll let you know more this weekend or next week.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Loy, do your thing.
Do my thing. I'll tell you what, I'll select like a pick of the week for this week, right? Because I didn't have nothing to add.
The news of the week or type of
a recommendation for the week.
All right, okay, good.
What I've been noticing lately that I do a lot of web stuff and web geekery and shit like that, and I've been reading a website called NetToots.
NetToots.
Yeah, so it's they have their main website is TUTSPLUS, so it's Tuts as in tutorials, tutsplus.com. Mm-hmm. And they've got great stuff. So anyone's doing like web coding or graphic design or even photography, they've got free articles. They've got a paid service as well, which is only like $7 a month for like premium content. But then their free stuff is equally as amazing, and you should check that out.
So it's more tutorials, how-tos, and anything to beef up your website, kind of like help webmasters and designers, that type of thing, right?
Yeah, they do web stuff, they do video stuff, audio stuff, they do anything that's related to digital almost. So they've got After Effects, they've got audio vectors, PSP, PSDs for Photoshop, web design, you know, mobile stuff. And so they've got everything, and it's a really good website. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of my first go-to points when I need to find something out.
Great. Great. Oh, guys, before I go, the Funky Kids special video guide. Now, there's something that I did quite quick last week. And if you want to see more funky videos, I suppose, is how you call it, yeah? Let us know what you want to see. I mean, it could be completely off the block. It could be just a bunch of hardware being sort of shot and panned. It could be... like a street video of what we go through during a day. Me and Loy are planning to go to Shenzhen, which is in China, do a video.
You've been
saying
this for like 20 episodes.
Yeah, and just that Loy's been so busy, and I will be too over the next month. But eventually we will, because we want to do like a video guide on where to go to get your stuff. If you're a mobile freak, then where to go to get your mobile stuff. And even in Hong Kong, where you want to go to get your video, your computer bits. And if I ever go to Taipei, then obviously you could check out
Yvonne.
Yeah, Yvonne. The computer industry and the computer scene there as well. And stuff like that. So anything really. I mean, if you want more showgirls, we can provide that. We can do that. If you want more crazy experiments, that's what we do. And we dunk things into water, hammer the USB pen with our hammers and you know, kind of anything crazy you want us to see or want us to do, we'll think about it and we could do it. Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Cool. All right,
well, thanks for listening, guys, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Love you long time.
See ya.